Just a bit of context. So I was asked by the head of design, Matt Hunter, if I could talk about simplicity for as it relates to dementia. And I said I'm completely and utterly unqualified. I know absolutely nothing about that subject. But because I know Matt, I said I would do it. And then he said, great, and by the way, I won't be here. So I will try my best to at least give some kind of connection between our work and simplicity, and I guess how it relates to why perhaps our work is attractive to young and old generations. At least that's what we're told. And also, an interesting development about a year ago, a medical drug delivery company called, a very good one called Novo Nordisk, I don't know if you're familiar with it. They were also very, very fascinated by our approach to simplicity in our work, and we're engaged with them. So that's a very interesting journey for us, particularly because, again, we're completely utterly. So what I'll do is I will just talk a little bit about if this works.
Yeah. So that's me and Kim.
So everything is a product, and every product is part of a system. So this is generally how we think of the world. We work because that's what product design is, but if you think about everything as a product, and you think about the fact that every product is produced as part of a system, and the only way you can actually interject into designing a product is to understand the system. And that's really the crux of our work. We're doing a fair bit of research, research and understanding, and just understanding the context of everything we do. Unfortunately, because it requires so much time, we tend not to do many projects a year, just because requires so much concentration. What I thought I'd do is I thought I'd start with just a very nice story. It's dear to my heart. This is a designer who sadly passed away called Soryu Nagi. I'm very fortunate to meet him. Many years ago in Japan. And Yanagi is very famous for, as a Japanese designer, of kind of old school period of post-war Japan. And the thing that that his products have is they have this, what I would call a kind of a beautiful equilibrium. An equilibrium between material, function, and context. So this is a pan I've used every day for probably the last 10 years. And you'll see that it has a kind of a very, it's not round, although it has a round base. It has a kind of pinch on two sides. And it's not just for easy pouring, but it also, the lid matches that pinch, and so to release the steam, you just turn the lid a little bit. And so this kind of idea of a product which is easy to pour water and control the steam, but not requiring any instructions, it's just literally the form that it's given, it's a very successful piece of work. And there's a number of his designs that have this feeling of an equilibrium of beauty, where everything is working well. And the reason I mentioned him is because in his 90s, they did an exhibition of his work in Tokyo, and they gathered together all of his work, and it looked absolutely stunning, beautiful. His work ranges from architecture to products to furniture. And so he went around his exhibition, and you know, it was it's fantastic, fantastic. Beautiful. And at the end, he pulled the curator to one side and he said, such beautiful work. I wish I could have designed things like this. And the curator had to tell him, this is, you did design it. So unfortunately he suffered from dementia. And he didn't remember the process, all of the processes that he went through for every single piece of work. And that was very moving for me, because in some senses it meant that for him, dementia allowed for a completely and uninhibited truthfulness. So because he was removed from the work, he was able to judge it for that particular moment. And that's something that when you're practicing design, you cannot do because you are involved in the process. So it means that his work is still beautiful for him. And I talked about equilibrium, and really what I feel it's about is this idea of acknowledgement of the context, which helps to remove frustration, helps to simplify things and make things very pleasurable. The way we think about products, all these sorts of things that we design, we don't think of them as a product. We think of them as part of a system, as I said before, but also as part of a landscape. So if you think about a glass of water, you don't see a glass of water on a white background. You always see it in the context of a table, a room. You see it in the context of that room in a building, and that building in the city. So there is a constant thread of context between it. So it means that when we design, we don't design the product, or at least we don't end the process at the edge of the product. We continue it, almost as if the glass of words are for us is blurred. So to try and even make that even more explicit, this is I do a lot of teaching, so this is quite beautiful because I can read this paragraph very easily. People where English is not even their native language, they can read it. The reason you can read it is you don't read letters, you read words and sentences and paragraphs. And it's a lot like products. If you only design the letter, there's really no hope of that letter being able to kind of submerge into life. It just stays as a letter. For us, the more important thing is the word and the sentence. And if you only think about the letter, you end up with things like this, where you look at opportunity rather than reality. And this is right by our office. And it's very sad to see this. This is a phone box. It's the same floor plate as a regular classic canine phone box. But someone has seen an opportunity to turn it into a cash machine, which means, and a phone. But now I have to stand out in the street and get away. And the technology is protected. So you have to think about, particularly in urban landscape, you have to think about people of all ages faced with this black thing where it's very difficult to understand because the thread has been broken. So I'll talk a little bit about our work and just the small interjections, but this is a small alarm clock we did for a Japanese company, good idea. And I realized that when I travel, there's a great deal of hope in the fact that I'm going to wake up, because I can only see the time, the current time. I can't see the time I'm supposed to wake up. So this idea is that you always have two displays, one for time and one for alarm. And we deliberately doubled up on the buttons. So to adjust the time, you have a button directly above it. and the same for the alarm. And the alarm sound is the button as well. So it's these small interjections which surely mean that if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can see the time and you can see the alarm and you can calculate the difference. And on the back, we just used a concept from Fisher-Price in the 70s where children had to put batteries in. And these kinds of products always have screws, you know, carries a screw. So we just used the sliding functions for removing the battery. Very small things. This is another one. This is an alarm watch. And again, like the clock, you know, most people think about these functions in a series of layers, modes that you have to go down. And I hate that. And apparently old people hate that too, because it's very frustrating. And this, all this is it's an alarm watch, but you, just like a clock, you see the alarm hand, the green hand, and you just lift the button up and you turn it. That's it. And the alarm in this case is vibration. So it has a small motor and it just vibrates. Very, very simple. The project we've just completed this month for a company in Singapore. It's quite rare to get a project to do a fountain pen nowadays, because things are technology products, so we've been very curious. And it's very simple, but it's beautifully made. It's called Pentagon. And the barrel is a pentagon shape. Pentagon is a symmetrical shape, in the sense that it's not like a hexagon, like an alt. It's a much more of a human shape. And it's partly human because you can only make it by hand. It's very difficult to make it by machine. So the idea is you undo the barrel, and then the cap is very long and it forms the pen. So it's kind of completing. This is the detail. About a couple of years ago, so we worked a lot with Muji, and I realized that when I first discovered Muji, I was a student. And so it means that original Muji customer is getting older, in their 50s. And so I said to them, why don't we start to think about, you know, products for older people? Not old, but they call it in Japan silver generation because of the hair. And so I started to create a range of stationery, and this is a diary, but the numbers are filling the squares. They're very big, and you write over the numbers. So when you open it, you immediately see the whole month. And it's a small thing, but you know, people enjoy it. It sells very, very well. The cover is made from jeans label material. And this one is quite interesting when you look at the correlation between kids and old people as well. I find that things like Playmobil, toys like that are really, really quite beautifully made things that resonate for me. So we do kids' things as well. This has just come out 2 months ago, also from Muji. It's a little light for children, and it's the shape a bit similar to a Japanese lantern. But the idea is that you can turn it over and you can choose a time setting. So you can have it on for 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And so during that period, when the child is going to sleep, it gradually fades until it turns off. So you don't have a light on. So to try and make those kinds of pieces of work, one thing that is, as I said, is very, very important is to understand completely and utterly the system of how things are made, how things are sold and consumed, and how they dispose of. It's so important. And I see many designers who are unable to see reality. What they see reality is on the computer. And I'm always interested in the reality of the things around us. So they require investigation. This is an example, this is a suburb. You can go into Pret a Manger or any convenience store. And it always intrigued me that I never see the end of an egg. I only see the slice. So obviously they throw away the end of an egg or they mush it up. Actually, there's an industrial process where they're producing egg for these salad makers specifically. And of course, we don't see that as customers. We just see the egg. But we have to see reality as designers to be able to interject in everything and make things. And that's how we did it with this project, which was a really beautiful project. There's an exhibition, Power of Making, which they're showing. This is a chair we did for an Italian company called Mattiazzi. And it's all made from wood. There's not a single screw. It's really quite an amazing achievement by them. And the left diagram is basically showing how the back leg is formed by a robot to be able to hold all of the other pieces. Very, very critical and very complicated to make, to understand. The only way we can suggest such a thing is by understanding their process of how things are made, and the costs, and the economies, and the stresses and strains, and messes of things. All the way back to where they harvest the wood themselves, and how they dry it, and shape it. And then you can create something really quite almost primordial, almost as if it's come from the forest. And also, of course, it has to be comfortable. So for Yanagi, simplicity from his own search still satisfied him, even in his 90s.